I think we'll start almost at the beginning. Let's talk about our great-great-great-great-grandparents, Adam and Eve. Let's just start there. Unfortunately, we know the story, and they forfeited something that was very special in the Garden of Eden, and they gave up what the Bible calls the divine nature, which is where they had the deepest, unreserved walk with God and this deep, unreserved love for God and with God, and they had trust in their Father, God, this human vessel that God had just created, and God imbued them with His love and His divine character, thereby creating a divine nature for His new creation. What a start, amen? You ever thought about that? The beginning for God's people was with a divine nature, but unfortunately, they surrendered that, didn't they? And ever since that choice to surrender that special, close, intimate relationship with God, God has hungered to have it back. Amen? God has hungered to have that close relationship with each one of us, even more than we hunger for it. Some of us hunger for that connection, others not so much, and some haven't even met God yet. But you know what's beautiful is God wants you. God has a plan for you. God has a relationship that will invigorate every cell in your soul. He has this love for us that will do crazy things, even like allow His Son to go to the cross and die for us. What kind of love is that? Amen. Amazing love. But they chose to surrender that close, special, intimate relationship with God, and God is hungering to give it back to us, a relationship where love wins and faith grows. Amen? Does that sound a little familiar? In fact, what I've learned is that this entire plan of salvation, this Christian experience, is simply to do one thing, really. Now, that's pretty simple. One thing. Here's God's will, and He just wants to bring our will in alignment with His. That's really what this is all about. It's a special place for each one of us to inhabit, if you will. And so, the reason He is doing everything He can to reach out to us and to imbue us again with that divine nature, my friends, is because He wants to take us home to a divine place. And frankly, without the divine influence, you cannot overcome the devil or even self. Now, last Sabbath, Pastor gave a stirring message revealing this church's mission, or maybe we could call it a creed or the battle plan. And it was where love wins and faith grows. Don't you love that? Four of us? Pastor, we got to do some work, amen? So, where love what? Wins and faith what? Grows. I love that. I think God loves that. In fact, I believe that should be the mission statement for every church on the planet. And if that was our focus, where love wins, in other words, we don't do things to other people that wouldn't be winsome. Amen? And where faith grows. I love that. Thank you, Pastor. I was blessed by that message. A number of years ago, honestly, after working for God for 25 years full-time, my walk was not where I wanted it to be. And I was not having that winning love in my life, if you will. And my faith would basically felt like it was stunted in its growth. And so I began to beg and plead with God, Lord, show me where I've erred. Show me where I've gone wrong. Show me where I've gotten off the path. Because I wanted to have that deep love win my heart again, and I wanted my faith to continue to grow. And after many weeks of my morning devotions turning into a deep Bible study, God took me on a journey. And I discovered, frankly, four C's, if you will, or four simple steps that lead to eternal life. Would you like me to share those with you this morning? Yes. All right, praise the Lord. Let's turn to Revelation 12:11. Revelation 12:11, our opening scripture, and these lead to eternal life. And frankly, in this one scripture, we have the four C's or the four steps. And they overcame him. Now, who's the they? Us, God's people, amen? So they, God's people, overcame the devil. Is that what it says? It says overcame him. By what? By the blood of the Lamb. Who's that? Jesus Christ. So it's saying, this church, you and me, you right now overcame the devil by the blood of Christ. You cannot overcome without the blood of Christ. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Now, you can do some things in your life, but friends, you will not be ultimately successful in Christ without Christ. But and then it continues on, and okay, wait a minute. They overcame by the blood, and that means in addition to, right? Yes, and by the word of their testimony. They're out there telling somebody what's going on in their life. And they love not their lives unto the death. What a picture of a powerful group of people. Is that you? Is that me? If we've chosen it, indeed it can be us. So let's just dive right in. The first C, if you happen to be taking notes, is connection. To connect with God. Now, what does connection mean? What does connect mean? It means to bring together, right? If you connect a power cord with the wall where that electricity is, you're going to connect it, you're going to bring it together. It makes a real link, a real contact. And turn with me to John 15:4, because we're going to read about a real connection in Christ. John 15:4, we'll start there and we'll go to verse 8. If you're there, let me hear you say amen. We have four of us. Come on, flip those pages or get onto that digital Bible as quick as you can. John 15:4. Abide in me. Now, who's talking here? Jesus. Amen. So here's Jesus saying, abide in me. Now, what does the word abide mean? Good. Stay. To dwell. That's exactly right. It also means to keep to or to hold to or to stick to act in accordance with, to continue to persist. So he says, abide in me and I in you. In other words, stick to me and I'll stick to you. Amen. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. So here's Christ. He is the vine. He is planted in the soil of truth. He is the truth. And we are the branches that have to be connected to the vine. Yes? What? Right. Why should we be connected to the vine? Well, let's read on. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abides, or he that holds to me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do anything you want. No, that's not what it says. My version says, without me, you can do nothing. So here's the vine, here's the branches. And from the branches, we bear fruit, the fruit of a Christian life, a character like Jesus. Amen? We are the hugs. We are the embraces of Jesus. We are the ones that are to go out and to love. But friends, we cannot do it if we are not connected to the vine. That's what it says. If a man doesn't stick to me, if he doesn't keep to me, if he doesn't act in accordance with me, in other words, abide, not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, this is a reference to what's going to be happening at the end of time. But friends, what it's a scary picture. What it's actually saying is, if we're not connected, what happens to the branch? It withers and dies. Have you experienced that in your Christian walk? I have. I've had times when I've been on fire for God, receiving the sap from the vine. I've had other times where I need some refreshing. I need some nourishment from Christ, the vine. But friends, if we are not connected, have you ever noticed we have wine land all around us. Certain times of the year when you prune and you cut that off, if you cut the wrong branch that has fruit on it, the fruit dies. Yes or no? Yes. Friends, in other words, the Christian fruit dies in our life. The love that wins will not be there. The faith that grows, oh, it can't. Why? It's disconnected. Making sense? Amen. Reading on, verse 7. Now, this, by the way, before is love winning. Now, in verse 7, this is actually a beautiful reference of faith growing. If you abide in me, and my words continue or persist in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done to you. Amen. A lot of people say, well, I've been praying for years to win the lottery. It hasn't happened. Friends, that may not be God's will for you. You see, the whole idea is to bring our will into alignment with God's, and therefore you would not even pray such a foolish prayer. Verse 8, why? What's the point of all of this? Why the vine? Why the branches? Why the fruit? Verse 8 says, herein is my Father glorified. In other words, this is how God is glorified, that you bear much fruit. In other words, you should be like Jesus. So shall you be my disciples. And the only way to bear much fruit is to connect with the vine. The first step to eternal life is connection with God. Do you see how it's vital? Three of us. Wow, praise the Lord. Come on, saints, wake up. Amen? Come on. We're here to meet with God. We're here to be taught of God. What a privilege. What a blessing. If somebody accidentally falls asleep, accidentally bump them. So here's the thing. We are taught to connect. This is what these scripture references are referring to connect with God. Well, how do we connect with God? That's the next question. What are some ways that we connect? Read the Bible. Prayer. Amen. Say again. Music. Absolutely. I'm a musician. I love music. And say again. Trying what it says, of course. You see, there's a lot of different ways to actually connect. We can read the Word of God. We can listen to sermons. We can come to church and be fed with spiritual messages. We can watch spiritual programming. We can even watch some powerful Christian movies, perhaps, and be fed by these different things. Yes or no? Yeah. So to connect, there's many different ways. But notice this. When we read the Bible, who is that talking to us? That's God. When I pray, what kind of connection is that? That's me talking to God, right? So friends, if all I'm doing is praying and I'm not listening or reading the Word of God, you don't have two-way communication, the relationship falls apart. And any of us that have been married for a period of time, I've been married almost 23 years now, and the beautiful thing is when you have good, healthy, two-way communication, you should have a thriving relationship. Amen? Does it work, ladies, if you do all the talking? Men, does that work? They don't even want to answer right now. No, the reality is there needs to be healthy two-way communication for that relationship to work, yes? It's the same with God. We can't just keep going down our list of all of our prayers and saying, give me, help me, help me, help me, help me, or Lord, guide me. Now, is there any problem with all of that? No. But if we're not stopping to read His Word, if we're not stopping to listen to what His Spirit might be guiding and how He might be directing us, then it's one-way communication and the relationship must fail. So don't forsake prayer. Amen? That's us talking to God. Open your heart to Him as you would to a close friend. How's that? And read His Word. Get into messages. That's God talking to us. Two-way communication is Christ abiding in us and us abiding in Christ. And this is where love wins and faith grows. Psalm 50, verse 15 says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I'll think about helping you. That's not what it says. It says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will. If God says He will, He will. Amen. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. You see, God's never too busy for you and me. other family members might be. You might reach out to your parents and you don't even get them on the phone. How dare them not answer our phone calls? Oh, but sometimes they're busy, right? But my Father in heaven is never too busy. When I cry out, he's right there. When I say I need help, he's right there. The problem is, we sometimes go to all of our own little ideas and other people before we go to God, where we can actually get the answers and have the solutions presented to us. But during our connection time, this is where we learn of God. This is where his character is revealed to us. And this is where we learn of his love for us. Friends, if you're not in the Word of God, how in the world are you going to learn who and what God is? Who is he? What kind of character does he have? What, maybe we come to church one day a week and we hear a sermon, and now they're becoming little tiny sermonettes that are very short. And so for 6 days a week, we're not spending time with God, and we get a little bit of milk of the word or meat in due season on the Sabbath or Sunday, whatever day you may worship on. And friends, that's not going to sustain us through the week. Am I right? In fact, you know I'm right. You know it. In fact, give us this day our daily bread, right? Paul said, I die daily. So I need fresh drafts of understanding from God and his word every day. Because sufficient is the evil for today. And so I need to be equipped to meet the demands of my soul. When we see how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to die for us, this is love beginning to win in our hearts. This is love beginning to give me a picture of who and what God is. And friends, when I see that, I have an opportunity to respond and say, Lord, I didn't realize the path I was on. Or maybe, Lord, I knew what path I was on, but now I choose you. Guess what? God takes that, and he works with that, and he grows your faith. Why? Because love awakened the need within us. And so we see that God so loved us, and our understanding of the beauty of God and Christ and their character grows deeper and wider in our lives. And when we see everything that God has done for us, everything that God is doing for us, and everything that God will do for us, then for some of us, our hearts become enraptured. For some of us, we say, we can't be quiet about this. We need to start telling people. And God says, well, okay, that's true, but let's come back here. Let's stay connected. And Christian, let's move you to a different place before you go and run out everywhere. I want you to have a beautiful, amazing, life-giving experience with me. So I want you to surrender your heart to me. Oh, now, some people don't like the sound of that. It's a free choice. And we can sit here and say, I've learned all this stuff about God, and I can go out there and I can give Bible studies and I can do all these types of things that are good works. But friends, if I am not fully connected and I have not moved on to the second C, which is commitment, to make a commitment, then friends, when things get tough, and friends, are things tough in this world? Are they tough in your Christian life? Yes. But friends, with Christ, we have an ever-present helper to help us in the hour and the day of need. Amen? So I must be connected. And I have personally chosen to surrender my heart and my life to Christ. I've made a commitment. Amen? That's the second C. The first one is connect. And friends, if you are connected with Christ and you have seen who Christ is, what prevents you from making that decision for him? My parents did today. Praise God. Now understand, this was a public declaration of what had already been happening in their heart for many, many, many years. But was that a commitment? Oh yeah. Based on a healthy connection. And healthy connection. If you haven't made a commitment for God, here's how it works. All you have to do is go back to connection. That's it. If you're not committed to God, it just means you haven't got a big enough picture of God yet in your connection phase. Is that simple enough? Praise the Lord. Connection is vital, but commitment is vital as well. And if we do not invest time into our commitment with God and into our connection with God, then that entire Christian experience actually comes tumbling down. And many of you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we're high and we're on fire for God. Other times we're low and not so connected. And what God wants to do is to help us not be bipolar Christians going like this. Amen? He wants to settle us in the truth because we have a vital connection and because we are committed and moving forward with God. And so the highs aren't so high, if you will, and the lows aren't so low. He levels us out. But what's so beautiful with God is, yeah, it levels us out, but he still takes us to high places, but we don't have to go way down here anymore. So we must be connected and we must commit. Now, what does commit mean? It means to pledge. How's that? It means to set aside or to bind. It means to dedicate to. If I commit myself to my wife, I have set myself aside. Yes or no? Absolutely. Psalm 37:5 says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Praise God. I'd like to read a small passage, Steps to Christ, page 43. The government of God is not, as Satan would make it appear, founded upon a blind submission and unreasoning control. Now, there are some religions that want to control you, and you just have to believe. Friends, that's not the Seventh-day Adventist message. Because we're a message of what does God's Bible say? Amen? We're a basic church. And friends, when you get basic with the Bible, it speaks volumes to your soul. It changes things. It's where love wins and where faith grows. And so here we are, we're reading this, and the devil is trying to make it seem like the church is trying to control you. No, not the church of God, not the remnant people of God. It's not this blind submission and unreasoning control. It appeals to the intellect. Do you realize my brain was bent when I first started studying the Bible? I thought it was just kind of some fluff and all that. No, no, no. When you study the Word of God with somebody that understands the Word of God and they're being led by the Holy Spirit, oh, watch out. Your brain's going to get bent in a really good way. It's incredible. I mean, my parents' brains were bent over the last 2 years. Is that true? Yeah. How many times they're shedding tears going, "Why haven't I seen this my whole life?" That's the power of God. That is love winning and faith growing. Amen? So, reading on, it appeals to the intellect and the conscience. Come now, let us reason together is the Creator's invitation to the beings he has made. It remains for us to choose whether we will be set free from what? The bondage of sin and share in the glorious liberty of the sons of God. You see, all God wants to do is take your bondage away. What a mean God. No, friends. What a loving God who wants to win our hearts. And friends, I've had a lot of junk in my life. Some of you know my story, some of you don't. Perhaps I'll share it someday. But I came through a very rough time as a child and as a teenager. And I'm going to tell you what, it messed me up for a while. But God was able, and love won out, and God fixed my head. He wants to do the same thing for all of us. Having faith and confidence and trust in God, we have everything, my friends. So connection, do you see how that's important? Yes or no? Yeah. And then commitment, do you see how that's important so far? We're building that one. Now, eventually, I met this nice young lady. Her name was Kobe. She became my wife. And I walked up to her and I said, "Hi, my name's Chris. What's your name?" She said, "Kobe." I said, "Hi, would you marry me?" Do you think that's what I did? No way. If I had done that, what should she have done? Yeah, this guy's a lunatic, right? Why? Why would she not take that type of deal? She what? She didn't know me. Exactly. In other words, there was no connection phase. Yeah. You see, God doesn't want you to just go, "I believe." I believe based on what, though? Right? Because friends, if you don't have a foundation of your belief, when the strong winds come, it'll blow you right out of the church. It'll blow you right out of your faith. And so we needed to have a connection phase, a connection time, where we spent time together, right? Good, healthy, quality time. I learned of her. She learned of me. I learned of her character. She learned of mine. At least the one I was presenting. And so, I wasn't quite the catch way back then. God really had to work on me, and he's still working on me. But the reality is this. We had this beautiful time where we connected with one another. We saw that we had some of the same ambitions and some of the same goals, and we had this idea of a life. And friends, in that connection phase, eventually it became a commitment. So it is with God. If you don't know who God is, he's not going to ask you for a commitment yet. Because he wants you to make an informed decision. Amen? Yeah. He wants you to make a commitment based on something substantive. And you know what? Eventually, we spent enough time that I went to Kobe and I said, you know what? I'm in deep like with you. It's actually a true story. And I said, I like you, but I don't necessarily want to be boyfriend and girlfriend, but maybe we just don't see other people. What do you think about that? Now, was that a commitment? You know, not so hot, right? But nonetheless, it was a little baby commitment, right? And she said, yeah, I'm good with that. Let's do that. And so our commitment grew. And as our connection and our commitment grew, guess what started to happen? Well, love started winning my heart. Amen? Not, oh, I fell in love. No. We're talking about some legitimate love. Yes or no? Kobe, yes or no? No, I was kidding. Of course it was. It was good, and it was real. And we didn't get things, intimacy and all this other stuff in the way. We became each other's best friends. And we had a real connection, which eventually I went to her and I said, Kobe, I said the word, I love you. I didn't fall into love with her. I allowed love to be awakened. This is what God wants for us. He doesn't want to just have us stumble into a faith or stumble into a belief. He says, come and let us reason together. And if you see something you need or you like my character, then make a decision. That's fair, amen? Yeah. I went to Kobe and I said, I love you. I love you so much, I'll give you 90% of my heart. You think that's what I said to her? No way. If I went to her and I said, I love you so much. I mean, come on, that's an A. I'll give you 90% of my heart. Should she take the deal? No? Okay. What if I went to her and I said, I love you so much, I'll give you 99% of my heart. Should she take the deal? Ooh, that's like a solid A plus material, friends. That's a no? Why? I only want 1% for other lovers. Come on, maybe that's 3.65 people a year. Come on, big deal. No, you know why, friends? Listen to this. The 1% outweighs the 99, yes or no? Because even here, as sin-stained people living in the world, even people in the world that have no idea of what God is, they still want 100% commitment, right? What's your percentage with God? I love you so much, Lord, I'll give you 50% of my heart. Should he take the deal? I love you so much, Lord, I give you 90% of my heart. Should he take that deal? How about 99%? You see, with us, the 1% outweighs the 99%. But you want to know something remarkable about our God? If I say, Lord, I just don't know. I kind of want you to be the answer, but I kind of don't want you to be the answer. That's where I was. And I went like this with the door of my heart. I just went, eek. I didn't go, eek. I went, eek. And God said, I'm good with that. I love you 100%. but I'll even take the 1%. You won't as a human being. You won't with a spouse. You want 100%. But we're satisfied somehow, some way with giving God some sort of percent of our life. And God says, I love you and I will work with that 1%. Because if you spend time with me, that door's going to go like this. Amen? The door of my heart will open more and more and more, and love will begin to win my heart, and then something grows inside of me called faith in God. Amen? And this is what happened with Kobe and I. This is what happened with my Lord and myself. I was not raised a Christian. I was raised basically as a heathen. Sorry, Mom, but that's true, right? She's shaking her head yes. But the reality is, I was not raised with any Christian principles or going to church or any of these type of things. I mean, we were taught to be good kids and to be moral kids, don't misunderstand me. But the reality was, I had no connection and I had no commitment to God. Therefore, I had no power in my life to overcome. Making sense? Is connection important? Is commitment important? Absolutely. God says, you're a chosen generation. I have chosen you. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That means a set aside people that you should show forth the praises unto him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And eventually I got to the place to where I went to Kobe, and eventually to the place where I went to my God, and I said, I love you. I'm yours 100%. I want you. Will you marry me? And she said, I'm all yours too, and the answer is, yes, I will marry you. And I heard angels sing, I think. It was great. And friends, eventually I went to God, and I had studied for 2 years, like my parents, for 2 years. I was a non-Christian. They were at least Christians before we started studying. And here I was a non-Christian knowing nothing, and it took me 2 years to fully open that heart of my door, the door of my heart and say, Lord, I'm yours. Do with me whatever pleases you. Guess what happens, my friends? When you're connected and you're committed, you will begin to experience the third step that leads to eternal life, or the fourth C, and you will begin to commence the work of God with power and intelligence. Amen. Are you connected? Have you made a commitment to God? Are you commencing the work of God? Many of us, when we first come to God, we get really excited, we get fired up, and we're going, and we're witnessing, and we're helping people in these rooms, and we're doing this over here, and we're doing all these things that are great and wonderful, because we actually have a connection, and we actually have this beautiful commitment, and God says, now therefore, go, and we go in God's name, amen? If you're not commencing the work of God, what does this tell us? We can ascertain very, very, very easily, we just have to back up and fix the connection. Amen? Isn't this a good baptismal study, yes or no, today? Yes. If you're not doing something for God, if you're not witnessing somewhere in your life, if you're not doing something to outside of yourself, not for yourself, but for other people, then something's wrong with the commitment, because there's something wrong with the connection. That's it. That's it. We try to make it harder. Which these and thous and thuslies and all, and there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes, friend, I need it basic. Get connected. It'll reinforce your commitment. And then you'll be doing something for God, and look out world. Amen? Oh, this is the people God is calling. This is love winning me, and this is God receiving me. Imagine this. When you're connected and you're committed and you're commencing, friends, not only does your love tank get full, but friends, God's love tank is full with you, if you will. Think about that. Because love has won me, and God's now, this is so cool, he's able to experience me loving him. What a gift for God. He's got plenty that are saying, I don't want to talk to you. Yeah, get out of my life. God, and blaming God and cursing God and all these. It's not God's fault what's going on this planet. It's the devil's fault. And it's our poor choices. So eventually God wins my heart and I respond in kind. I want to fill God's heart with some love. How about you? No, but God is love. I know, but he wants to receive it from me too. And it hurts his heart when I hold it back. Zechariah 13:9 says, and they shall call on my name. Why? Because they're connected, they're committed, and they're commencing. And I will hear them, and I will say, I love this, it is my people. And they will say, the Lord is my God. Has God become your God yet? Or is he the God of the Bible, or the God of the church? Or, but has God become your God? Have you claimed him? He's yours if you want him. He's mine. I've chosen. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, Joshua 24:15, choose you this day whom you shall serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's love being awakened and winning. That is faith growing. God has chosen you. My question this morning is, have you chosen God? And the fourth C, if you are connected and you are committed based on a healthy connection, and you are commencing the work of God, then friends, the fourth step, and this is where God wants us to be every day. He wants us to conquer self. He wants us to conquer self. He wants us to conquer the world. He wants us to conquer the devil in our lives, my friends. And too many people are satisfied with this mediocre experience. They're in mediocrity in their Christian walk. They're what the Bible calls Laodicean. They're lukewarm. They're asleep. And friends, when you're asleep, you cannot be effectively used by God. Amen? But when you're connected and lit on fire and you see God for who he is and you're committed and you say, I choose you today. And then you go out and you commence the work of God. Friends, when you work for God, do you realize, and you go out to be a blessing for other people. And people, well, I don't know what to do. Let's grab our bulletins and let's look at, there's a 4 to 5 club. There's fellowship lunches. There's a game night coming up. Game night could help be out there witnessing for God. Sure. You're playing basketball or something, and normally if you mess up, people are like, oh, bleep, 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 and they're acting like this. But they come to a Christian event, and they're like, oh, brother, sorry, I didn't do that. That wakes people up. How about Lodi, love Lodi service projects? How about tiptoe through the tulips? That sounds interesting. How about Christian men retreat? How about an Easter program? There are places and things to do right here in this church, right here in Lodi, California. And when we are connected, committed, and commencing the work of God, because he says, look, in Matthew 24, he says, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? So here we are. Christ says, you're connected, you're committed. Now go, get going. And we're like, okay, have you ever been to a race? Have you ever been to a race before? And the runners get there, and they shake out their legs, and they get in this little starting blocks, and they get ready, and they say, runners, on your mark, get set. And what happens next? Go, and they take off, right? They go. Well, here's a lot of Christians. Runners, on your mark. Okay, get set. Go. Amen. But friends, listen, if we're not going, there's just something wrong with the commitment. That means there's something wrong with the connection. Amen. Are you seeing this? And friends, when you are connected for real, and you're committed for real, and you commence the work of God, you start to overcome in your life, and people want to have what you have. That's love winning. That's faith growing. Amen. We'll end here. The Bible tells me in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Friends, if I'm connected, I can do all things through Christ. Amen? If I'm committed, I can do all things through Christ. Amen? If I'm commencing the work, but I don't know what to say, God says, now therefore go. I will be with your mouth, and I will teach you what to say. We have no excuses. Because all of God's biddings, now that you're connected, committed, and you are commencing the work of God, all of God's biddings are his enablings. In other words, he will not call you to something without first equipping you to fulfill the calling. Amen? Does anybody here want to have this kind of connected life. Anybody? Praise the Lord. Let's go back to our opening verse and we're done. Revelation 12, 11. By the way, the four C's of Christianity, the four steps that lead to eternal life are here in one scripture. And they, who's that? That's us, right? Overcame. Oh, what C is that? What step is that? Conquer. Amen? And the church conquered him, the devil, by what? The blood of the Lamb. They are connected to Christ, and Christ's blood is flowing through their veins now. Amen? There's the second C. And by the word of their testimony, what C is that? They're commencing the work of God. Amen? They have something to share, a changed life. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Why? Because they were fully committed. Amen? Friends, here's what I'm fully convinced of. I'm confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, if you get connected. Amen? God bless you. And may your names remain in the book of life.
Praise the Lord. Now we get to do something wonderful to launch Rick and Pam in their part in this church family. And I need you and your hearts with me. Rick and Pam, would you mind coming up? And I'd like to ask my pastoral team to come up and join us too. Come right on up here. One of the things that we see happening in the Word of God, in the book of Acts, is that when people came to Jesus, they were prayed over to have... Christian, are you okay with this? You on board? Yeah, okay. Yes. And they were specifically prayed to ask the Holy Spirit to fill them, to do the work that God called them, to bring alive the gifts for ministry that God has in you. So Rick and Pam, that's what we want to do right now. Is we want to pray and ask God's Holy Spirit to fill you, to guide you, to empower you, as your son said. He already has a plan. He knows what he's calling you to do. And he already has the equipment, everything you need, the power, the courage, everything you need to do it. And it is all through the Holy Spirit. So church family, we'll do one formality before we do this. You have seen them baptized. Do I have a motion that we accept them into membership in the English Oaks church family? Is there a second? All right, see, I can count. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
I don't need to ask the other question. Let's kneel together. Oh, Father, we thank you for the miracles that we have seen today. We thank you for what you have done. You've known Rick and Pam since before the world began. You knew who they were. You knew the lives that they would live. You knew the need that they would have of you. And you provided for all of that in Jesus. Thank you so much for the different ways in their lives that you worked to draw them to you. For the people who first introduced them to Jesus, Father. For the commitments and the faith that they exercise to come to you. Thank you so much for the ministry of their son, Christian, and others who have further studied with them in your word and led them to see your plan and your just where we are in this earth's history on the way towards Jesus coming and your call upon us in light of these times in which we live. And we thank you that each step of the way, that as they have heard your voice, they have ended up saying yes, and yes, and yes, and yes. And thank you for this wonderful, glorious experience today that we've got to share with them of the baptism, representing that they have accepted Jesus' life and death and resurrection for them, that he truly came to win them, and that he has done everything that is needed so that their place in your kingdom is secure. And now, Father, we know that because you are in them, that they don't just want to get there by themselves. They want to be your servants, to minister among this family, to encourage one another, to stay faithful, to stay ready for Jesus until he comes. And Father, that their vision is bigger than that. They're already serving in our community to spread your love there, Father. And they want to win others to you. And we know that none of this can be done except that you pour out your Holy Spirit upon them. Father, we ask right now, in the name of Jesus, who is our high priest in the heavenly sanctuary, who is coronated as king over all and has the right to pour out his Spirit on whoever comes to him by faith, Father, we claim that promise now, that from your very throne room above, that you would pour out your Spirit upon them, empower them, bless them, light up their lives to shine for Jesus and lift him up in this world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.